them girls loose, loose. TJR. You get the world loose, loose. You don't get money,
Mr. Worldwide.
But I do, I do. You don't get them girls loose, loose. You don't get the world loose, loose. You don't get money, ooh, ooh. But I do, I do.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Back with you here, Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. And notorious, in addition, one other bit of news that I think we must talk about at least briefly. Unfortunately, things seem to be going, I'd say, a little bit off the rails for Devon Bess, wide receiver of the Cleveland Browns, and he was arrested for assault at the Fort Lauderdale International Airport early Friday, like, after acting erratically and confronting an officer. He's already been released from there. There have been pictures showing up on his Twitter account with what would appear to be marijuana. Interesting things going on with Devon Bess right now. Bess was, quote, this is according to the report, quote, acting irrationally, dancing, singing with his pants repeatedly falling down. At one point, he grabbed a coffee that was not his and squeezed it, spraying coffee on the officer. Bess then, quote, took a fighting stance. The officer hit him on the leg with a baton, and that was pretty much it. It sounds like whatever happened at the end of the season was bad. We know Devon Bess did not finish the season with the Cleveland Browns, and it doesn't sound like things are getting any better for him right now. And, you know, disappointing season on the field, now becoming disappointing off the field, and you have to wonder how this will affect, you know, he signed the extension after the trade, guaranteed, I believe, $4 million next year, but this would obviously, I would imagine, put that kind of stuff in jeopardy.
Yeah, I don't know all the details of the contract in terms of the Browns' obligation if the off-field behavior comes into play to get them off the hook on what is owed or what is guaranteed. I know the folks here are all over this in terms of the internal folks. Spoke with some people over lunch about this as well, and the only word I got is not good which I think
it is not good.
I
feel
bad for
whatever's ailing
anybody.
Him. I hope he can
exactly. You want the guy to be well. You don't want to take any. I hope no one. I know it's easy to sort of poke fun at how things came about, what the stuff looks like, and that's a society in which we live when somebody falls into the celebrity status category. I don't know how large a celebrity he really is, but he's a professional athlete, just like any other entertainer. When you go down these roads, people tend to take sport and find in your misery, but it is misery, and I'm sad for him. The opportunities I had to deal with and speak with Devon Bess, I found him to be a guy who I would call a nice guy to deal with, to talk with from the time he arrived here, had lunch with him around the joint. He came in around draft time and just to get to know him a little bit better. I covered him before from with NFL.com and knew of him as a player, but really didn't get to know the person. And some folks who had been here at the time who had worked with him in Miami endorsed him as a good guy. Neil Gulkus, who had been here as vice president of communications at the time, was with the Dolphins and knew Devon. So, You all of those things pointed to what you thought was, okay, this guy would be a good fit and be good for the locker room and good for the press. And then things have gone horribly wrong. And all I can hope for is he gets his life together because it's bigger now than his future in football. I don't see him having a future with the Browns, of course, but I don't know if he's got a future period in the NFL as a result of all this.
Right, and he's a guy who actually does do a lot of charitable stuff, had a tough upbringing, and you know, if you Google him and look it up, you'll see that he is involved in a lot of positive things. And it certainly is just unfortunate that, you know, we're in the situation that it seems like we're in right now. And hopefully, as you said, you know, things can turn around for him.
Joe in Pennsylvania on the line with us now. Hey, Joe.
Good show. Hey, I have a fundamental difference with what you said earlier about the Browns interviewing all these potential candidates because they're going to need other coaches as well. My problem is this. The head coach has to work with these guys, so they have to be guys that he signs off on. So technically, they should have the head coach in place first before another him pick, let him pick his assistants. That's where they got in trouble before, when they picked assistants and then they told the head coach, you have to work with this guy, that guy, and the other guy. So in my opinion, it just seems to me, looking from the outside in, that this front office doesn't have a clue of what they're doing, and they're just grasping for straws at the next guy up. You know what I mean? So I would like, you know, in my opinion, you have to have the head coach in place first and let him pick his own group of assistants to make it work right.
Yeah. Okay, Joe, thank you for the call. It doesn't always work that way, and it's not, again, just a Cleveland or Browns situation. In multiple situations where we've had seven coach openings, I assure you the head coaches who were hired aren't the ones directly picking every member of those staffs. The staff process, the thought process of putting a staff together, runs concurrent with the interview process in many ways. That when you go through the discussion with coaches, you discuss who they might be bringing in or the types of coaches they're looking for, immediate ties they have, some with your existing staff, some elsewhere in the league, some maybe at the collegiate level, but it's mostly stays within the realm of NFL assistance and experience, and you work with that. There is not as much an extreme disconnect as you might think, and use Rob Chudzinski as an example. That isn't what blew up on this football team by any stretch of the imagination. North Turner and Ray Horton were viewed as extremely great hires at the time. They were the two highest paid coordinators in football this past season, and Rob's connection with Norv was a strength in getting Rob hired and bringing Norv in and seeing that fit there and liking what his system was. I mean, that's what the thinking was of this organization at that time. It changed as it went on. Same with Ray Horton. A lot of positive feeling there. In particular, Jimmy Haslam liked the whole 3-4 zone blitz, fire zone concept that the Pittsburgh Steelers ran, and he was minority owner of the Steelers and studied and knew that knows that organization quite well, Dick LeBeau's defense, and wanted a version of that brought to Cleveland, and Ray Horton was the guy to do that in his mind then. So none of that was like, okay, you got guys here that aren't going to work together, that isn't going to be successful. That never came into play. So staffs can be put together this way, and it's prudent to get to know who these people are, what they're about, what their availability might be, you know, get those permissions out there, find out what their status is with their current teams. Joe, it's the opposite of what you're saying. You've got to be doing your due diligence now with assistance, right, even if you don't have the head guy hired, Nathan.
Right, and that's what I think that it is. In many cases, they can help guide the process and say, listen, we talked to so-and-so, and we think he has an opportunity to be pretty good. What do you think? Blah, et cetera. So I also like the fact that they're looking at, you know, we've looked at offensive coordinators, we've looked at defensive coordinators, they've looked at a quarterback coach who's now the offensive coordinator of the New York Giants. They'll be looking at a special teams guy. So I think that they are at least getting a broad kind of look at all the possible coaching candidates, the possible backgrounds for said candidates, et cetera, which I kind
of
like.
Yeah, a lot of range to this search. 216-578-0850, Bill in Beechwood with us now. Hello, Bill.
I really love your show. I listen every day.
Thank
and
you.
I'm so glad you moved away from the dinner hour when I was eating.
So am I. Bill, I got to tell you, it's allowed me to have an actual dinner hour, too, like the rest of us.
Yeah. Let me throw in there on your point that Ray Horton was one that came to us, not from Chudzinski, but from the interview process last year. Right?
Right.
Yes.
And, all right, I got 2 points I want to bring out here. One is, I want your program, I hope, to move on from the Adam Geis thing, because, you know, first of all, Bob Lamont is his
agent.
A client, and Bob Lamont, everybody that he had with us got fired by Haslam, so there could be a little negativity there. I don't know that. I'm just throwing on Bob Lamont's part.
Mm-hmm.
And an agent's very important in this thing. The other thing is, you saw where Quinn went for the interview, as did Wizenhunt. The fact that they're in the playoffs doesn't preclude the fact you could spend a couple of hours on an interview, and I'd rather have a guy that really wants the job. It's pretty obvious, and from interviews with media people in Denver, two of them I've heard in the past couple of days, both mentioned they think he needs more experience. And he's a flatline kind of guy, and we've had a lot of those in Cleveland. Shermer, Rod was that way. Give me a Schottenheimer kind of guy, which I believe Quinn and
Mike Patton.
Yeah, I think these two are the most qualified, and they've got a little more years and experience under them and could bring in good assistance.
Okay.
I think if you concentrate a little on them, I think they'd be of interest to us. Mm-hmm. And may I give you one more bugaboo? My biggest bugaboo are national guys calling Cleveland shows and mentioning how badly Cleveland wants Johnny Football. If you or I were in the position of Banner and Lombardi, wouldn't that be the last thing we would do? Would let out who we desire? That would be the worst thing. You know, so they can't possibly know. And anything that comes out from them has got to be smokescreen. Don't you think?
Well, you brought up a lot there, Bill. And thank you for the call and the loyal listenership. Not going to agree with everything you're saying there. I wouldn't rule out to the quarterback question. No, I think to say that that would be the last thing they would do is probably, it could be very, very way off the mark. I think there's a distinct possibility that could happen. Smoke screens, all that. Yes, those are very possible. The draft season is the lying season in the National Football League, so you do have to be wary of how information is dispensed there, but that's a different topic. To your point about agents and their influence on this, and that you said Bob Lamont had clients here, and now his clients have been fired by Jimmy Haslam, so he wouldn't want to bring any more clients here. Not true at all. Bob Lamont, like any other agent worth his salt, is in the business of making money. You know, it is a business, and there are, you want your cut of contracts, and getting a contract signed by the Browns, if it's one of his guys, hell yeah, he's going to bring his client here. He wants his guy to get a head coaching job. If it doesn't happen, it's not because he's necessarily doing something. This would be the classic, you know, cutting your nose off to spite your face. He wouldn't be doing something to block him from the Browns. He'd be doing something because he feels next year there's a better opportunity to jump into,
sure.
It, just like a player declaring or not declaring for the draft. Very similar.
Agreed.
So that's how that would go down, Bill. But, yeah, so, all right, we are going to hear from – we mentioned one Jimmy, that being Haslam. We're going to bring in the other Jimmy, and that would be Jimmy Donovan from the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network, the voice of the Browns, the man on KYC TV. He's a man of many talents, and he's coming up next on CBD.